This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 112. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need for any other scripture? As soon as one attempts and attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Omangana timaranjasya gana gana salakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindrubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaha. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we can read text 8 together, and then 9 we'll do responsively. Angusta machamamalam sphurat purat tamolinam apivya darshanam shamam tadivasasamachutam. Angusta, by the measure of a thumb, matram, only, amalam, transcendental, svarat, blazing, parata, gold, malinam, helmet, apivya, very beautiful, darshanam, to look at, shamam, blackish, tadit, lightning, vasasam, clothing, achutam, the infallible, the Lord. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. He, the Lord, was only thumb high, but he was all transcendental. He had a very beautiful, blackish, infallible body, and he wore a dress of lightning yellow and a helmet of blazing gold. Thus he was seen by the child. Text 9. This one will do responsively. Shima Dirga Chaturbahum. Tapta Kanchina Kundalam. Shata jaksham gadapanim. Atmana sarvato disham. Paribramantam ukabam. Ramayantam garamuhu. Srimadirga chaturbahum. Tapta kanchana kundalam. Shata jaksham kara garapanim. Atmana sarvato disham. Paribramantam ukabam. Ramayantam garam muhu. Durga chaturbahum. Tapta kanchana kundalam. Shata jaksham gadapanim. Atmana sarvato disham. Paribramantam ukabam. Pramayantam gadam muhu. Shima Dirga Chaturbahum. Tapta Kanchana Kundalam. Shata Jaksham Garapanim. Atmana Savatodisham. Paribaram Tam Ulkasham. Ramayantam Garamu. Anyone else? Okay, ladies. Shrimad Dirga Chaturbahum. Chattakanchana Kundalam. Shatajaksham Gadapanim. Atmana Sarvato Disham. Rebamantam Ukabam. Ramayantam Gadamahu. Shrimadirga Chatur Bahum. Taptakanchana Kundalam. Shatajaksham Gadapanim. Atmana Savatodisham. Haribramantam Upabam. Ramayantam Gadamuhu. Anyone else? Any other ladies? Okay, Shrimat. Enriched. Dirga. Prolonged. Chatu Bahum. Four-handed. Tapta Kanchana. Molten gold. Kundalam. Earrings. Shataja. Aksham. Eyes with the redness of blood. Garapanim. Hand with a club. Atmana. Own. Sarvata. All. Disham. Around. Paribramantam. Loitering. Ukabam. Like shooting stars. Ramayantam. Encircling. Gadam. The club. Muhu. Constantly. The Lord was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury. As he loitered about, his club constantly encircled him like a shooting star. Please repeat. The Lord was enriched with four hands. Earrings of molten gold, and eyes saw how Prabhupada was almost uncomfortable accepting all of the service, but at the same time, as someone mentioned recently, that he was accepting on behalf of his spiritual master, and throughout it all, he was remaining very, very humble and meek. So that is an example that we always have to remember. You know, even as we're successful or unsuccessful, because Prabhupada says that, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, karmanyadikaraste, that, you know, we have the right to be attached to our doing our duty, but we don't have the right to be attached to the results. So in this particular case that we're talking about, Maharaj Prakrit, who is in the womb of Uttara, and Ashwatthama is totally envious of the Pandavas, and already the five sons of Draupadi have been killed, and Ashwatthama wants to make sure that the Pandavas are done away with, and Prakrit Maharaj is also done away with. So he releases a Brahmastra, and of course a Brahmastra is a very special type of weapon that Prabhupada explains is even more powerful than the atomic bomb, because the atomic bomb, as we've seen, destroys everything. And, you know, people in Japan are still feeling the results of what that atomic bomb did. But the Brahmastra was so exact that it only went to the target, and this target was Maharaj Prakrit. And so Krishna says that he had no time to wait for the Pandavas to do anything, even though Krishna took a vow that he wasn't going to take part in the battle. He's already done it for Bhishma Dev, and now he's also going to protect Maharaj Prakrit, regardless of any slander that comes about. Because Krishna says, like in Krishna the Ranchor, this was in the battle of Jarasandha. He's already been defeated 17 times. And Krishna decides, well, there's two reasons. Krishna decides he doesn't want to see any more bloodshed. And after all, he's already defeated Jarasandha 17 times. But there's something else happening, which we'll talk about more later. But, you know, Rukmini is desiring Krishna to be her husband. And there's no time to waste because she's going to be married to Shishupal. So he has to leave immediately. A Brahmin has come, given the letter by Rukmini, and so he flees the battle. And because of that, he has a name, Krishna the Ranchor, which means, but this name becomes so famous, it's super famous in Gujarat, where they have, you know, deities of Krishna the Ranchor. And it's so funny to me, because Krishna says, I don't care if they give me a name of, you know, a coward, of someone who flees the battle. He goes, what do I care? He says, I have so many names. What's the difference if they give me one more name? Yeah, I just don't care. So I thought that was so cute. So this is Krishna. You know, he says, I care more about being Bhaktivatsala. I care more about being a lover of my devotees than I care about being a worldly moralist. So that shows the love that Krishna has for his devotees, especially devotees that are into this, in this intimate relationship with Krishna. You know, that they can expect, they have faith that Krishna is going to protect them no matter what. So this is the situation that Maharaj Prakrit is in. Krishna comes, he appears, thumb high, and Krishna is able to protect him. And Maharaj Prakrit, whose name means examiner, he is watching, always looking for this personality that he's seen in the womb, you know, and he hasn't been able to find him all throughout his life, but he ultimately will be able to find him. So again, in the purport, Prabhupada quotes the verse, Kaunteya Patijinahi Name Bhakta Pranashati, that, O son of Kunti, you know, my devotee will never be vanquished. So we can understand that as we go throughout our lives. We may see, you know, in little ways and in big ways, how Krishna is always there for us. It's so interesting when you think, like, you know, I had to give class today. This is a very little way. But it turned out that I also had to milk the cow this morning. And I'd also invited someone over for prasadam. And I also had some tutoring to do, so I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to do all this, you know? Krishna, okay, it's going to happen. So all of a sudden, the other person that milked the cows, he texted me and said, oh, can I milk the cows this morning, and you can do it for me tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, sure, that would be great, you know? And then the person who I was going to tutor said, oh, do you think you could just come on Friday and say? I'm like, yeah, of course, that would totally work, you know? So that's a very little example, you know, compared to the examples that we're seeing and that we're going to talk about. But the idea is that more and more throughout our lives, even when something happens untoward that we can't really understand why this is happening, we don't turn away from Krishna. Just like in World War II, when the husbands of the women, they didn't come back. And so they turned their backs on God because the communists said to them, oh, look, you know, God didn't help you, did he? He didn't give you your husbands. They didn't come back. We're going to give you bread, you know. So we're much superior to God because look what we're doing. Of course, you know, anyone that has any philosophy would understand that. Where does the bread come from? The bread comes from, you know, the grace of God. Otherwise, you couldn't have the bread. So, you know, we have that higher understanding that Krishna, you know, Krishna is Purusham Nishru. Krishna is the ability in man. In order to do anything, we have to have that understanding that Krishna can empower us. Just, I think it was yesterday, the day before, Pushkar Ragatmika, some others were asked to talk about the time that they were working for the marathon. They had to do all this work and translate into Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is a word in a fool's dictionary. So at that, the devotees had to really kick into high gear. And, you know, they were, it was like an assembly line, Pushkar Prabhu said, for the paintings, where they were all working on all the paintings. And Ragatmika hardly got any sleep, as I remember. And Prabhupada noted that she was working so intensely on typing out these transcripts, you know, for the books. So we can do amazing things when Krishna's behind us. You know, we've all felt that in all different ways. I know on book distribution sometimes, I remember once someone had decided to follow me around all day, breaking up my sales. And I was like, whoa, you know, how is this going to work, you know? But somehow or other, by the end of the day, like some people, they just didn't care if whatever this man was saying, they just completely ignored him. They just listened to me, and they gave a donation. So by the end of the day, I'd done as much as that day as I'd done any other day. So we don't have to pay that much attention to all the hindrances that come about. You know, we can just know that Prabhupada says that anatta means without a guardian. And people who don't have faith in God, they're without a guardian. Sanatta means with a guardian. So we always have that, you know, we're very lucky to be enriched and protected. We have that protection, sanatta, with a guardian that's always with us, always helping us. And, you know, ye yatam prapajante tam tataiva bhajameham mama vart manuvartante manuvartante. Say it? Yeah. So Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. And Prabhupada says, Krishna reciprocates with the devotee to the degree of his surrender. So, and his determination. So I think we've all seen that too, that, you know, the effort that we put out, whatever it is, even studying for a class, I understand very clearly that, you know, Purusham Nishu, that Krishna's the ability in man. Krishna can give us the memory, Krishna can take it away. You know, Krishna can make us so nervous that it's hard to speak, or Krishna can allow us to speak clearly. So this is the situation that Krishna is often giving us situations. Like once Nataka Gopala said, she heard in the class that Prabhupada was giving, when someone asked him the question, Prabhupada, is it true that Krishna never gives you more than you can handle? And Prabhupada said, yes, that's true, or less. So he doesn't give us more than we can handle, but he also doesn't give us less than we can handle, because Krishna's on a marathon to bring us back to Godhead as soon as possible, because he And, you know, here we have Mother Yasoda and, you know, Nanda Maharaj and Revati and all the colored boys. It says they're on the point of death. They're on the point of death because they're afraid that Krishna is going to be, you know, overcome by this demon. So Krishna lets it all go on until he can see that they are on the point of death. And then he's able to just smash Kaliya, you know, because of the Nagapatnis, they come and beg him not to kill them. So Kaliya goes into another place, and all the cowherd boys, and it says when Krishna comes to them, it's like, you know, someone that you haven't seen forever comes. They've been lost and now they're found, or you've gained an incredible treasure. Each one of them was taking Krishna and pressing them against their chest. They're just so happy to see Krishna and so overjoyed. They all regain their life. That night, what happens, you know, they decide to spend the night near the Yamuna in the forest. And in the middle of the night, there's a huge forest fire. And what do? They're not like, call the fire department, which, you know, we can do. It's not like we're impractical. Prabhupada, when he's talking about the Pandavas and all the sacrifices that they performed, he said the Pandavas were very qualified, you know, in character, in knowledge, in their activities. He says the Pandavas, they weren't parasites of the Lord. So, you know, depending on Krishna doesn't mean that we don't try our best in every way, you know, to perfect our material activities and, you know, to perfect our life in so many ways, but also we have that complete dependence on the Lord. So immediately the cowherd men and everyone that's there, they call, oh, Krishna, Krishna, you know, help us immediately. And devotees are like that. Whenever there's adversity, whenever there's a problem, they immediately go to Krishna. So Krishna comes, and what does he do? He swallows the entire forest fire. So how ecstatic is that? You know, that is like completely ecstatic. So, you know, again, there's so many stories of this happening. You know, we have this story I thought was pretty far out because it's a story that involves Lord Chaitanya, and it involves the family of Bhavananda Roy, of which Ramananda Roy is a family. Gopinath Patanayaka is part of the family. And it says that this family of Bhavananda Roy, they're actually, in another lifetime, they're the Pandavas. So in the story, Gopinath Patanayaka, one of the brothers of Ramananda Roy, the son of Bhavananda Roy, he is a treasurer for the king. And so when they take stock of the treasure, they realize that it's 200,000 kahanas, conchil short. And so they present it to him. You know, whoa, wait a minute, you're short, like 200,000, it's a lot, a significant sum. And Govind Patanayaka says, oh, don't worry, I'll make it up in time. But the son of the king, it's called, what's it called?
Bhadajana,
the prince, he is a little envious of Gopinath Patanayaka because the king really likes Gopinath Patanayaka. And so, you know, he says, no, he should have to, like, pay his debt immediately. So Gopinath Patanayaka says, okay, bring my horses in. So he brings the beautiful horses in. He knows that they're worth that much, and he presents them to the king. So the Bhadajana, the prince, the son of the king, comes, and he establishes what the horses are worth, and he makes it much less. And so Gopinath Patanayaka, he's mad. I mean, he's furious. He's like, what? He goes, anyway, the prince has an idiosyncrasy that he always, like, stretches his neck, and he kind of looks up to the sky looking back and forth. And Gopinath Patanayaka says, anyway, my horses don't, like, raise their heads and look at the sky. So, wrong thing to say, you know. The prince becomes even more angry, and he goes to the king, and he goes, look it, you know what, guess what, he's not paying the money. And the king says, oh, do whatever you have to do to make sure you get the money. So the prince says, okay. He takes some, puts some of the chunga is like a wooden platform, and beneath it are all these very sharp swords that they push the offender on and they die. So the devotees are completely freaked out, you know, like Gopinath Patanayaka, even though kind of like Pundarik Vijayaniti doesn't always show that he's a pure devotee, he's a pure devotee. So they go to Lord Chaitanya and say, Lord Chaitanya, you know, this can't happen. This is what's happening. And Lord Chaitanya says, well, why is it happening? Well, he owes us money to the king. And Lord Chaitanya says, well, he should pay the king. So, you know, time goes on. He's on the Changa, and they approach him like four different times. Lord Chaitanya, this is really serious. They're going to kill Gopinath Patanayak. He says, what can I do? I'm a sannyasi. Do you really want me to go and beg the king? You know, he says, pray sincerely to Lord Jagannath. And so they do. They pray to Lord Jagannath. And lo and behold, one of the, I don't remember his name, the devotee that goes to the king. Do you remember his name?
Harish Chand.
He goes to the king. And he explains to the king what's going on. He says, do you know that they're going to kill Gopinath Patanayaka because he hasn't paid the sum of money? The king's like, I didn't know that. And Harish Chand says, anyway, what good will that do? If you kill him, you're not going to get your money. If you let him live, he's going to pay it back. And the king is, I never wanted to take his life. I just want him to give the money back. So he says, go immediately and tell them to stop this. So then he goes and he stops it. And of course, it says that Lord Chaitanya, he empowered Harish Chand to go and speak to the king and to change the situation. So it's interesting that, you know, the Lord, not only is he obligated to his devotee, but he's obligated to the family of his devotees. And we've heard so many stories where this happens, where the mother or father or brother or sister of a devotee is liberated in so many ways. Like recently, maybe a couple months ago, my sister who fought ovarian cancer for so many years was losing the battle. And I told my sister, who was a nurse, she quit her job and she went to Michigan to take care of my sister. I said, let me know when it's coming towards the end. So she said, oh, it's coming to the end. I said, okay, I'm gonna drive up there. But then she called me back and she said, I told Judy, my sister, that you're driving up. She said, I don't think I can wait that long. So I was like, oh my gosh. So I flew up with my daughter. And when I got there, I went straight to the hospital. And she was still conscious when I got there. When she saw me, big smile. And she saw Pritha, even bigger smile. And so I just talked to her, and I asked the people at the hospital, can I spend the night? And they said, well, I don't think so because of COVID. I said, I came all the way from Florida just to see her. And so they went and checked, and they came back, and they said, yeah, they said you could spend the night. So the rest of the relatives were like, well, we didn't know you could spend the night, you know? So they all went home. It was just me and my sister. And throughout the night, I played Ave Maria. She was Catholic, so I played that. And I played it interspersed with Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna because I wanted her to be comfortable, but I wanted to hear the chanting of a pure devotee. And I held her hand. And when she died, she was listening to Srila Prabhupada chanting, and I was holding her hand, and I was just, you know, reassuring her that everything was going to be okay, that she was going to be okay, her family was going to be okay. So Krishna was so kind that he allowed me, he allowed my sister to leave her body in this way. So Krishna is so kind in this way to his devotees and to the friends and family of his devotees. So we can know, you know, sometimes, you know, it may feel like maybe a devotee is neglecting his family. Let's, you know, I mean, I never really neglected my family. I always kept in touch with them. But in certain cases, someone takes sannyas, or for some reason, a devotee may feel that he can't keep in contact with his family because they're inimical. Still, those devotees, the family devotees, they are benefited. So, you know, there's so many other stories of, you know, the idea of my devotee is never vanquished. And of course, it doesn't mean the devotee may not die untimely. Still, Krishna is with that devotee. And someone asked Prabhupada, what if, you know, I can't remember Krishna at the time of death? Prabhupada said, Krishna will force himself into your mind. You will remember, especially because we're still practicing. So I also, before the end of class, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Lord Shiva, because it was my understanding that it was Shivaratri was the birth of Lord Shiva, but Bhadra told me that it's actually the wedding of Lord Shiva and Parvati today. But anyway, I was focusing on the story in Krishna book of Lord Shiva and how Lord Shiva's devotee, Vrikasura, he was undergoing great austerity and great penance, and he was cutting off different portions of his flesh and offering it. You know, how gruesome, but this is what he was doing. And he was even prepared to cut off his head and offer it to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva says, wait, you know, what do you want? And Vrikasura said, well, you know, I want the benediction that if I touch someone, their head will explode. So what a ridiculous benediction, but Lord Shiva was obligated because he had performed this penance. He said, okay, so he got the benediction immediately. What did he want to do? He wanted to touch Lord Shiva. So he's running after Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva's running, you know, frantically away from him, and in close pursuit is Vrikasura. Lord Shiva goes to Narayan, and he's telling him the situation. So Lord Narayan immediately appears in front of Lord Shiva, and he says to him, wow, do you really think that you're going to touch Lord Shiva and his head's going to explode? Don't you know that Lord Shiva's pretty much lost it? He's pretty much doesn't have any power anymore, and it's just going to be an embarrassment to you. If I was you, before you make a scene here, you should just touch it and make sure it's going to work. And Vrikasura, he's kind of overcome by the power and the beauty of Narayan. So he says, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so boom, he touches his head explodes, and that's the end of that. So in the story case, there's so many lessons. One of the lessons being the superiority of Lord Shiva. Although I was reading one conversation between an Indian man and Prabhupada, and he's asking Prabhupada about Lord Shiva. Prabhupada's saying it's just like milk. You know, Krishna's milk and Lord Shiva's yogurt. You know, they're the same, but they're different. The Indian man's saying, but we offer prayers to Lord Shiva, and Prabhupada's like, that's fine. But Krishna's supreme. So, you know, there's no problem with even worshiping Lord Shiva, according to this, but, you know, understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Person and not asking benediction to Lord Shiva, because, you know, akamasava kamava moksha karma dharadik tibrena bhakti yoga najijeta purushamparam. No matter what you want, you want to be a pure devotee, you want liberation, you want fruit of activities, still, we go to Krishna, we ask Krishna for everything. The highest, just asking for pure devotional service. But at the same time, whatever we want, we approach Krishna for that. So that is Prabhupada's understanding, our understanding of Lord Shiva, of his position, which is very, very elevated, you know? We're never supposed to disrespect the demigods, but we are supposed to understand their position, just like there's a president and there's a president's cabinet. You know, there's Krishna and then his cabinet of demigods who are in charge of all different kinds of affairs. You know, again, the beauty of Krishna is that he's not obligated by anything. He's not, except for his devotees. That's the only thing that he's obligated by. He doesn't care, like Yudhisthira. You know, Yudhisthira, when he was asked in the Battle of Kurukshetra to say Ashwatthama is dead, he had a hard time with that because he'd never told a lie. And they said that he never touched the ground, but when he said Ashwatthama, and then in a low voice, the elephant is dead, that his feet touched the ground. So the worldly moralists say the reason he touched the ground is because he said that lie. But we say, no, the reason, the Vaishnava understanding is that he touched the ground because he hesitated to say that lie. Because devotees don't hesitate to do what Krishna is ordering. So we'll stop here if anybody wants to share any realization or story. And I wanted to say that the marathon for the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is going on. They're trying to sell 30 books by when? By Gaur Purnima. They already have 6 sold. There's only 24 left. So let's really meditate on that, you know, who we could send it to and, you know, how we can help with that. Anybody have any comment or a question? Varuna Prabhu. I'm so glad you came, Varuna. We missed you this morning.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I was physically...
No problem, I'm just saying we missed
physically
you.
Going, but then more than physical, mentally I was out of whack.
I don't believe that.
No, but I just want to share something. So I was listening on YouTube, Lacho Temple Live, you're singing Kirtan, and then thank you for reciting the verse 112 Dharma Progita Kaikavo. And that's my favorite verse. So I was in bed listening, and then I said, I gotta go to the temple now. There is only 3 men there.
Thank you.
And I gotta go. So I quickly took a shower, put tilak on, and came right here, you know.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because of the potency of that verse.
Yes.
It woke me up.
It's amazing. You know. It's really amazing. Okay. So that's
Let me see if there's anything
okay, sure.
online.
I have one more question.
Okay.
You were mentioning in class, I think you were today, that Prabhupada was, you know, he had so many, something like that you said, like he had so many followers and all, but Prabhupada was...
Nonplussed, yeah.
Nonplussed, right. Yeah. So I was listening to a class and Prabhupada was saying that how this quality of humility, if you have knowledge, that knowledge is no good if you don't have humility. Because, you know, if you have knowledge and you become puffed up, then it's no good.
And generally, people lose their knowledge when they become puffed up, you know, because they start acting out of false ego instead of being powered by the Lord. So that humility, that's one of the elements of Sharanagati, of surrender. So it's very, very important.
You said in the beginning there are 6 ways. Krishna.
6 symptoms of surrender.
Symptoms.
Yeah.
Can you please recap them? Thank you very much.
Sure, sure. So the first one was always dependent on the Lord, and then accepting things that are favorable for devotional service, rejecting things that are unfavorable, understanding one is always a servant of the Lord. That one is always protected by the Lord. And the last one is having that humility. Because again, without the humility, we can't really experience some of those other qualities. And that's one of the things that was so impressive about Srila Prabhupada, how he was able to relate to every kind of person. Like in Science of Self-Realization, he's talking to the lieutenant of police. And Lieutenant of Police, Prabhupada's saying how they need to distribute prasadam, massive prasadam. And so the lieutenant says, yes, I guess you'd want to distribute this prasadam in the poor areas. And Prabhupada said, no. Our understanding is that everyone's spiritually poor. It has to go to, would have to go to everyone. So Prabhupada was able to understand that everyone's poor. And sometimes the rich are poor than even the humble, because they say even in the Bible, it's easier for harder for a rich man to go to the kingdom of God than it is for an elephant to go through the eye of a needle, because lacking that humility, whereas a poor person is just naturally humble because of his situation. And I guess that's why it's easier for the Brahmins to be humble too, because generally they don't have a lot of material possessions. Hare Krishna.
So I just want to tell one little story. Pushkar knows about it. When they were doing the Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon, say one book was being ready to be finished.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to finish the paintings. So sometimes they had one painting and five artists would be on that one painting to finish it, one in each corner and one in the middle. I've seen them painting like that. just to get it done,
Yeah.
And I used to take them to the studio, a special studio, to get the negatives made. And I would bring them in wet.
The
paintings were still wet.
Wow.
I can't get a choice to make things. But they were faulted. They were so beautiful, this art. And I took them into this studio, and the people would see it on the way in. And they'd never seen art like that.
Wow.
So they were just going, oh my God, look at that. They were so beautiful, these paintings. You've seen the paintings.
Empowered, right? Empowered.
So special.
It really is.
They really push them. I was a servant of the artist.
That's right. Thank you, Prabhu. All right, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, you have a couple of online just comments.
Okay.
Mahavishnu Priya says, so touching and inspiring class, thank you. Realizing Krishna's hand in everything in our personal lives becomes clearer and clearer as we mature in Krishna consciousness. Our great fortune is experiencing Krishna in our lives all the time. People are hankering for an experience of God just once, and we find it daily. And then Dina Dwarkalila says, such a beautiful class. Thank you for inspiring us with your heart and understanding.
Oh, thank you so much, Hare Krishna. You know why? Because Maharani's birthday. Because Maharani's birthday. I'm going to go see her tomorrow. I got a birthday cake. Thank you so much. I really study. I do. Believe me. I do.